Let us pray. Holy Presence, I come before you this day, invoking your Spirit to be upon me and in me and through me, O Lord, as I seek to offer a message to myself and to you and to your people, O God, that the very words I speak and the very moves I make are yours, O God. So pour out of me all of the things, O God, that were wrestling inside through this week as I looked at this word you have placed on my heart. Let the very utterances that come from my mouth, O God, be yours. The very thoughts that are lifted up in this moment, let them be yours. For indeed, O God, I come before you and before your people as a humble servant unto you. This, O God, is my prayer. Amen. Today, as we enter into worship this morning, we enter into worship in a theme of baptism. We enter into worship in a theme of something that was done a long time ago. And what was so interesting about the passage this morning that is placed before us is that this passage before us comes before Jesus is ever baptized. This passage comes before us before Jesus would ever walk into the water and the skies would open and the Lord would say, "My beloved Son, to whom I am well pleased." No, this passage comes to us from John the Baptist and his life and his legacy, who had invited folks to come to the River Jordan and to be baptized in the name of their God. But what I find quite interesting as we reach the passage this morning is a particular section that we've read for you this morning, where John is standing at the river and he's baptizing them in the name of his God. But what he is experiencing is that there are many who are coming. There are different folks who are coming, not simply those who are aware and into the understanding of why they were coming. There are some who must be coming because they heard that something was happening at the river, and they wanted to come down and see what was going on. Some were coming because they have heard maybe something about this Messiah who's coming, and because John the Baptist is down at the river, that they have decided that they too would come down to the waters of Jordan so they could go into the waters too. They didn't see this in the same way that John the Baptist does. And so John the Baptist, who is at the water and seeing the many folks who are coming, is able to, in some way, he is able to know who is coming with the seriousness of why they are there. And John is not happy. John says to them, when he uses the word vipers, he's using the word snakes. He's telling them, "I know that you are not coming here for legitimate reasons. You are not coming here because you are coming in a humbleness of your God. You are coming here for show. You are coming for shape, form, and fashion. You are not coming here because you understand the commitment and sacrifice that you are being asked to make when you say yes to the Lord. Rather, you are coming here. Some of you are coming here, as our scripture says, because of Abraham. You are living into that ancestral text of Abraham, and so you are coming here just because of that. You're not coming because you understand what the commitment of what you are going to make and what you are going to say and what it means to go into this water. You do not understand what it means. For indeed, God could turn the stones into something of belief. God is that good that God doesn't need you to come with some fakeness, some foolishness, some sense that you are not taking what is going to happen when you go into the water seriously. I remember talking with someone earlier this week, and the person shared with me that when they got baptized, there's some who get baptized in the water, and when they go into the water, what ends up happening is there's something that comes over them that is so powerful and so magnificently changed. But there are others, when they go into the water and they come out the water, well, they went in and they went in with the greatest intentions, but they didn't come out with this sense of excitement and holiness that others have. And this individual shared with me that isn't what happened when that baptism occurred. But later in life, this individual would say that something happened. That something happened over the context of going into that baptismal water a long time ago, that this individual held on to that sense of baptism all the days of one's life. And that individual held on to it for so long that eventually one day, and it was just said to me, that something came over. And that baptism that had happened a while ago resurfaced and reemerged into something that was very powerful. So much so that this individual was able to say to me today that my baptism means the world to me. The water. When you go into the waters of baptism, brothers and sisters, quite frankly, it's just water. It is water. You're going to get wet. You're going to get wet when you go in. And indeed, that is in its intention. But its intention is that when you go down into the waters, that in essence what you are saying, you are making an outward profession of an already inward call you have in your life. You've already said yes to Jesus. You've already said yes to God. But in essence, what you are doing is you are emulating exactly what John the Baptist did a long time ago and what Jesus would do in his time, that you would go into the waters, and when you went down into the waters and you were risen back up again, there was new life. There was new life in you. There was a new commitment in you. There was something different than the way you lived your life and the way you carried yourself. That was the expectation that John the Baptist had of those who came to him and said, I want to be baptized. You weren't coming just because everybody else did it. You weren't coming because you want to be able to say, yeah, I did it and it's done. But you were coming because there's a real purpose and a real reason to why you would go into the water. And so John says to them when they ask him, so then what shall we do? Well, what are you asking us to do? What is the change we are to make? And John puts it in a form that you cannot deny, you cannot shake. John says that in essence, your baptism means that if you have two coats, you have two shirts, or you have two of anything, it means that you're going to give it to somebody else. It means that if you have food on your table, And I'm telling you, this is a struggle sometimes, but if you have food on your table, that you'll feed somebody who ain't got as much as you do, that you will give them the food on your table. That's what that baptism means. It means that you will no longer be the same way that you have been, which is the tendency to be a little selfish, a little controlling, a little holding on to our stuff, a little bit of not wanting to share or figuring that somebody else will take care of it. He even says to the tax collector. The tax collectors came to him and said, what shall we do? And what does he tell them? He tells them that you're going to treat everybody with fairness. You're only going to collect what you have, what you need. You're not going to go, because it was famous for the tax collectors in that day and time to extort and to take more money than was deservedly theirs. But he didn't stop there. He went on to the soldiers who were coming as well. These are more likely the Roman soldiers who were coming to him. And they were also wanting to be baptized. And they would say, well, what do we do? And he says, if you are really baptized in the waters of Jesus, if you're really baptized in the waters of God, you will not use your position of power to overthrow and to take from those from whom has less than you. You will not extort from them. You will not extort them. Rather, you will only do what is right and fair. You see, what John the Baptist was saying is that going into the water was not a plaything. Going into the water was not something you just did because there was nothing else to do. You passed by and saw, oh, they're baptizing in the water. I guess I'll go down there too. That is not what baptism in the name of Jesus is about. It's about a life change. It's about a lifestyle change. It's about saying the way I used to live, I got to do a little differently. The way I used to treat people, I got to treat them a little differently. Those times when I would stand down instead of standing up means that I need to stand up for those who are being treated unjustly, who are being treated unfairly. It means that I need to let go of those things. Notice this thing, though. There was nothing in the scripture that said you had to sacrifice. Did you see that in there? There's no one that said you. It says if you have two. It said treat people with justice and fairness and kindness. It didn't say that you had to go and give the last plate of food on your table, because if you ain't taking care of yourself, you can't take care of anyone else. But in your baptism, you are willing to let go so that others might eat nourishingly well, that you might treat others in a way that is respectful and mindful and true. Baptism is not something that we take lightly. You know, I say these words often in a wedding. I'll say that you enter into this marriage with reverence, and then that you don't take it lightly, that there is a sense of honor and dignity in what you're about to do. There is a seriousness to coming together as a partnership, just as there is a partnership with your baptism in the Lord. There is a seriousness to the partnership that does not exclude and does not look at someone else differently. Rather, I look at Margaret as my sister in Christ. She may not be my blood relative, but I look at her as my sister in Christ. And if she has a need, I have a need for her. If she is down and out, then I am down and out with her. It means that is what our baptism means, that we let go of our wealth and our power and our prestige so that others might know and experience the love of Jesus. Because just like then, it's the same it is now. It is so easy for you and me to have multiple pairs of clothing, to have multiple monies in the bank, to be more concerned about ourselves when we look at the world in which we live. It becomes so easy, even in a way that we may not even think about it. But baptism means that you are different. Baptism means that you struggle with holding on rather than letting go. Baptism means that you care for the least, the lost, and the lonely, even though it may be a struggle for you at times. It does not mean you will always get it right. Baptism does not mean that you won't make a mistake, that you won't fall down, that you may not need to be forgiven. It doesn't mean that you will always do the right thing, but it does mean that your heart, your mind, and your soul will be always remembering that is my call. My call is to do what is right by my fellow human beings, by God's earth. Yes, by God's earth, I am called to do what is right, what is true, and what is just. That's why John was so upset, because people were coming to him to be baptized with no sense of understanding of what it meant. It was so much so that when John was chastising him, they asked the question, what should I do? What should we do? I wonder if we are asking that question today. Are we asking God on a daily basis, what should I do? How should I be? How should I live into the world? Or have we gotten it so figured out that we don't need to ask God any questions anymore? We got a book. We know what to do. But the world is not the way it was in John's time. The world is different. And in some ways, still the same. The political melees that John would live into would eventually cost him his life, because he would stand up to the powers that be. And today we are still called to stand up to the political powers in our nation and around the world. We are still called to stand up for those who are at our borders desiring to find safety and security. We are called to stand up for those who are on the street, who are homeless or living in homelessness, and for those who are living in poverty. We are still called to stand up for those who have less than we do. And by the way, I want you to know this. It's not always about somebody on the street corner. Sometimes, and many times, we ignore the people that are sitting in the pews right next to us. We don't pay attention to the struggles and trials that they may go to. We don't pick up a phone and call someone because we assume somebody else is doing it. But our baptism challenges us. Our baptism challenges us to look out for God's people, all of God's children. Yes, baptism is not something you just do. It is something that's a commitment for life. It is a way of life. It's a way of how do I live? And maybe for some of us, we know that and we claim that daily. For some of us, we may have gone to a point where we're saying, I'm not living up to my baptism. Or maybe I haven't reclaimed it in a way that I ought to. And how do I live my baptism out from the time I walk out that water? It's a matter of how do I live my life on a daily basis? How are you living your life? How are you serving the poor? How are you taking care of the needy? How are you walking with the mother or the father who is struggling? How do you walk through the violence and melees that is going on in our city? How are you standing up for what is needed? How is your baptism being lived out in love? Because I want to believe the underlying thing of everything John said was in love. How do you love your neighbor in such a way that you will not take advantage of them, that you will not mistreat them? It doesn't matter if they're family relationship, if they're church related, or if they're the stranger. How are you living a life that is exemplary of who Christ would be in the world? Because your baptism, all baptisms, mean something. Whether you got baptized as a baby, whether you got baptized as an adult, whether you're waiting to get baptized, you need to know the baptism does mean something. And once you do, you cannot escape it. You cannot walk away from it. And John is challenging those who are coming to him that day. He's challenging them to look at their life. There are seven people who are going to walk in that water later this morning, who have made a commitment today to say yes to their God, who've made a decision to say that they want to live in a way that is righteous and true of God. By the way, not of us. I want to clarify that. This baptism is not about us. It's about them and their relationship with Jesus. It's not about us. We are here to support them, to love them, to journey with them. But this baptism is about their relationship with God. We just get to be on center stage and see it occur. And then the real truth is, what will we do to help them on their journey moving forward? How will we live out what John is also asking? How will we journey with them as well? Because just as their baptism means something, just as your baptism means something, our baptisms collectively mean a whole lot. So this day, I don't know if you can remember when you were baptized and what that was like for you. But today we will get to join with seven others who are going to go through this for the very first time. And they are going to be able to hopefully claim the words of John. And they will too ask the question, what is it, God, that you're asking me to do? What should I do with my baptism? In essence, how do I live it out? It's great that we sit in the pews. It's great that we donate money to the church. But whose lives are we touching? Whose life are we impacting? Who are we showing mercy and kindness to? And who are we giving honor to? Today, seven people are giving honor to the God in their life, to the Christ in their spirit. And so today we honor them. We honor them knowing that not only their baptisms means a lot, but ours does too. And for those who are yet to come into the waters, their baptisms will mean equally as much. No baptism is greater than the other. So I say this day, remember your baptisms, and remember to ask the question. Yes, ask the question, what, Lord, do you want me to do now? How am I to live out my baptism? Because it won't be the same as it will be with someone else. No, it's not. The tax collector is totally different. Totally different than the person who simply works a daily job. The soldier is totally different than a tax collector. Your lives, each of our lives, are different. How are we called to live out our baptism in the world today? Because it means something. Amen.